I thrive on making my competitors look like they're very bad at their job. I am so sick of people trying to sound smarter than they are, being like, stupid. It's done.
Emily, welcome to the Pressure Tested Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kelly.
I'm so excited you're here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I have been following you on Instagram for a while. And
the
after
IG.
On what?
On Instagram?
On Instagram.
Oh.
And I figured out that you and I have a very similar taste in music.
Yes.
And so you constantly post like just random songs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know anybody else knew this song existed.
It's a very lonely world being a 35-year-old female that likes the music I do.
Well, I'm here with you. So,
yes.
Okay. So we're going to, first couple of seconds is, I'm just going to ask you some questions about music.
Yeah.
Okay. So top five favorite albums.
Oh, God. Okay. Albums in no order. That is tough. I love so much music. It's not really albums. It's more artists because
okay,
I like a
cool.
bunch of them. So number one artist is Tool, favorite of all time. Followed by that is another band by the same singer, which is A Perfect Circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I love A Perfect Circle. This is just based on taste today. And it is an album, but okay. I think Morning View by Incubus is a perfect album,
yeah.
And I love Incubus.
Love that, yeah.
Love them. I would say, based on my mood today, I love the album Rubber Soul by the Beatles. That is a random one to love, but
no,
that is my
good.
Favorite one.
I like it.
And then, going on artists, right now it's Audioslave. So those are my five.
I love that. That's great. Okay. If you're stuck on a desert island and you can only hear one song on repeat rest of your life, what song are you going with?
Funny you mentioned that. I was on an international flight once. This was like pre-cell phone and internet. And the one CD that I had in like my cassette just was scratched and wasn't working. And so I actually, on the way on an international trip, had nothing to do but figure out something to kill time. And I actually thought of that. And it's two songs because I can't figure it out right now, but one of them is Give Me Shelter by Rolling Stones. Mm. I think that's a perfect song. I also think the song Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty.
Oh,
I think they're perfect
I
songs.
Love, I, do you remember that music video?
Yeah.
Like for whatever reason, I must have been five when that music video would come on MTV, and I don't even know how my parents were letting me watch it, but
mm-hmm.
that is like stuck in my brain. I can't unsee that music video.
It's a great song.
It's with me for the rest of my life. This is a question I always ask people who love music. Is it totally okay while you're in the gym to listen to whatever genre of music you want? Like,
yes.
no hate for that, right? Like,
no
you
hate.
Can listen to Kanye West. Like, you can listen to whoever you want in the
He's
gym.
He's a little psycho. But
yeah.
I, my workout playlist could not be more ADD and off the walls crazy.
Yeah.
It's very heavy metal music, very heavy rap music.
Mm,
and then
yeah.
every now and then, I will sprinkle in a little bit of disco.
Disco?
And a little bit of Disney. Every now and
Disney,
then.
Disney, no.
Be a Man from Mulan is a great song for working out. It is phenomenal. That one and that Lion King's like, Zavinia, circle it like, yeah, you feel like ready to go.
Yeah, it's got to be hype music.
Oh, yeah, but the other one that, don't judge me, every now and then I will get a little bit of a kick from like some Pocahontas.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
But you're a singer though, so you can kind of.
Yeah, but I wanted her hair.
Like yeah. All that hair.
Yeah,
yeah,
Colors
I did
of the
too.
Wind.
I went and got it.
But yes, you can listen to whatever you want. I don't care what that is. And I have a couple guilty pleasure songs.
Yeah, like, I think everybody does. Like, my guilty pleasure is country music.
Oh, yeah.
And most people are like, you listen to all of this music, but you also listen to country music. Like,
yeah.
It just depends on how I feel.
Absolutely. My guilty pleasure song is technically a little country. That Old Town Road.
Oh, no.
I love it. Guilty pleasure.
That is a guilty pleasure.
I'm admitting it. I don't care. That song is a banger.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And I'm sounding very cliche like all these Gen Zs right now, but that Pink Pony Club song
oh,
is
no.
a banger.
No, she goes hard. I
that's
love
a
her.
Banger. Hot
She's
to
my
go.
Favorite. Yes, that entire album
She's
freaking
great.
Hits. It
so,
does.
Yeah, I'll just
She's
be
great.
Working out like, girl, what have you done? And just like go, yeah, it's great.
Okay, all right. So we've covered music. I want to hear about how you went from working at a radio station to business development. Like, tell me the whole career path that you went down.
To cliff note it for the sake of time, I laugh still at the fact that I'm in accounting because the fact that I'm in a profession that involves math, I maybe have a second grade level math. I have a version of dyslexia where it's dysgraphia. So
really?
I have terrible, I'm bad at math.
Okay.
It's actually hilarious. If you ask me to do basic percentage math, Maybe. Probably not. I can barely do math. So I thought it's so funny that I'm here now. But I graduated college at the tail end of the 08 recession. Okay. And so at that point, I was looking at jobs in Dallas, New York, D.C., Chicago, but the salaries back in Dallas were the exact same as those other big cities. Mm-hmm. And so I moved back home and then working for some social media and marketing companies, and then the ripe age of 26 when you're off your parents' health insurance plan came around, and I interviewed at CBS, and I got thrown into radio and BD. I initially interviewed for an IT job, and they're okay. like, you're a little too chatty for this, so how about sales? And then I got pushed into radio. The stations I was with were not really talking to demographics that, just putting it bluntly, look like you and I.
Yeah.
It's sports talk and it's news talk. So when you think of people listening to sports talk and news talk, mm-hmm. I was in my 20s at the time. They didn't care about women 20
plus. Yeah, it's middle-aged white guys, yeah.
Yes, stale, male, and pale. Yep. And so a lot of my clients are the kinds of companies that those old white men need in their life mm-hmm. to run a business yep. or own property. So I had banks, I had attorneys,
okay.
I had wealth management companies, and anything having to do with a building. So HVAC, concrete, yeah. gutters, roofers, you name it, because on the weather station, they advertise the weather and traffic, and whenever there's bad weather, oh Lord, if you have a roof company on there, oh my God, and you have hail, lo and behold, everyone knows that company. Yep. Or if you're a number one air and you're going through a power outage, oh, look at that. Wow. They yep. are, they're there. And so, but long story short, CBS Radio, I was there for close to 5 years. They got acquired by a company called Entercom at the time. And I was wondering why my friends were quitting. And I learned that they were not quitting. They were getting cut. And so get out there, look for a new job. And that's how I kind of got thrown into accounting. And it's weird to think that radio can pivot to accounting, but
similar demographic.
Well, similar demographic. It wouldn't have worked if it was for every other station. But I think because I was pigeonholed with a lot of the news talk and sports talk, a lot of my relationships, yeah, I was talking to the owner and the head of marketing, mm-hmm. but a lot of them still made sense. I'm talking to them now about different services.
Right.
But it's just funny because some of my old clients from the radio days are still in my life today, but for accounting. Mm-hmm. And okay. so business development, it doesn't matter what industry it is. It's fun. I like the challenge of accounting because it's not sexy. Mm-mm. Like
no.
Academy Sports or
yeah,
Sephora. Those are fun things. But people want those things. They don't need them. Mm-hmm. They need accounting, so it's not as sexy. It's a little stale and boring.
Yep.
And so I thrive on making it actually fun.
That's cool.
And so, I love yeah, that. That's how I ended up in accounting. So.
Well, I definitely understand. I run an HVAC company, which is the least sexy of all trades, and I'm in accounting. So I feel that. It's just not a thing that people think is very cool. So that's why I think that what you do is really interesting, because I think that everyone just has this different idea about what business development means. And yep. I think that of all, and I feel like I know a lot of women in business development because, you know, I'm in a position at work where a lot of services want to be, you know, people come to me that are in business development for accounting, for banks. Mm-hmm. But I think that you do business development better than anybody I know.
You're
and I want to really understand that. Like, what is it that you do differently? And the other thing that I really want to ask you is, how do you safeguard your time? Like, how do you decide, you know, this is something that's worth my time and I'm going to say yes to it, or this is something that's absolutely not worth my time, I'm saying no?
I'll start with the second and then go to the first.
Okay.
I think your 20s are the time when you need to say yes to everything and you're doing a lot of trial and error. I'm assuming in your 20s, maybe you are, but most of your time in your 20s, you're probably not, a lot of times you're not married yet, you don't right. have kids yet, so you are not tied to anyone else. And you can go to these wild happy hours, all these events. You can go to these chamber events. You can literally say yes to everything because you're trying to build that network. You're right. trying to build that book and just that brand. Your 30s and up is where I went into this year. I'm a new mom. Mm-hmm. Got a 5-month-old baby. I am not as free as I once was. And I looked at this year. I hate the part of my French, the BS things where people are like, 2025 is my year of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Or 2025 is my year of serenity. No. For me, we have Monday through Friday where we're working.
Yeah.
Call it 8 to 5.
Yeah.
if my work meeting time does not check one of four boxes, I don't have time.
Yeah.
In no order, actual business, so business meetings, if I'm meeting with anyone in the business community. Wellness, that could be anything for me. That could mean me taking a hour-long walk. That could be me just going to the spa. Whatever it is, I need whatever to do to make me feel good. I cannot be a good mom. I cannot be a good employee. Mm. And I cannot be a good friend or family member or person in DFW if I am not feeling good. So wellness, friends and family, and then relationships that I do want to really develop and hone in on more. You can have multiple buckets of those four, but I can't be all places like I once was.
Yeah.
There's a philosophy where I have to plan my day around my beverages. So coffee, tea, liquor. I'm not a big drinker. So if I'm going to miss any kind of day parted event, it's going to be happy hour or an evening thing.
It's good.
I'm not going to miss all of them. There are some things that are definitely beneficial, definitely worth my time, but I'm not going to go to all of them. But I really do think I do things differently because when you boil it down, I thrive on making my competitors look like they're very bad at their job. And I'm very competitive myself and out and about. And so if I see other people in my role in the community, I am motivated by making them look really bad at what they do. And so you can do whatever you want to do out there to be you and be different. Mm-hmm. But I have always been, what you see is what you get. Yeah. There's no BS. I think there's, like you said, there's a lot of women and men that do BD. And I think most of them are crap at what they do. I hate the traditional BD model. It is so salesy.
Yeah.
It is so, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
I basically live by the philosophy of treat people how you want to be treated. Right. And I am not this whole coming in hard, like, tell me about your business. No. I'm making it up a scenario, but you're here now. Who knows where you're going to be in 20 years?
Yep.
I don't give a crap what company you're at. I care about you as a human because my philosophy is sales is just like dating. It is. But I know everyone's got their different way and spin on things, and I appreciate and admire a lot of how other people do things. And mm-hmm. you can pick and cherry pick. I was on a panel last year actually for a construction panel, a women in construction panel.
Texo?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And there was, I don't remember who the person was, but someone in the audience asked another person, not going to mention their name. They're like, what do you talk about at meetings? And this person goes, oh, I don't talk anything that would be controversial. No religion, no politics, nothing taboo.
Yeah.
That's just so inappropriate and not for me. And then I grab the mic and I go, I talk religion, politics, and the sins with everybody. And you have to just read the room.
How did the room respond to that?
They kind of chuckled, but it really depends. And it's all matchmaking, just like dating.
Right.
I'm going to give a scenario. But if I am meeting with a extremely obviously conservative person, maybe they're showing up in a red hat with some letters and very obviously.
Yeah, they're a Trump supporter.
Yes. I'm not going to go and say, what are your thoughts on gun reform?
Yeah.
Or
you're not going to poke the bear when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Got it.
Not going to.
You're a mature, reasonable adult.
You can find anything in common with everyone.
That's right.
Even people that are crazy. And you completely disagree with most of their points. You can at least get along and say like, oh,
you can find commonality with anyone if you make an effort.
Yeah, like, do you like tomato basil soup? I like tomato
Me
basil
too.
Soup.
Me too.
Yeah, that's it. So you have to do it delicately. Things just kind of evolve and open up as you keep talking to people. But I could care less about the company you're with. I will remember if you told me a funny story.
Yep.
I will remember if you also have a daughter similar in age to me, if we went to the same kind of school, if you also studied abroad in Rome. I'm going to remember those things.
You're going to remember the human.
Yes, but I also understand a mindset of BD that a lot of people don't. And I think the most successful BDs, and I've been very fortunate to be with these types of companies in my career, is the really good ones. Leadership comes from the top. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets managed very differently, but I've been very blessed over my BD career to work with men and women that let me do my thing, that do not micromanage me, that do not get in the way or tell me how I need to be doing things. I will never cold call you. I will never cold call anyone. I've only.
What about the cold call LinkedIn message?
Hate it. I treat people how I want to be treated. If you are calling me with an unknown number, I'm going to assume you are spam risk, who is my new best friend, or you are calling to tell me about my car warranty expiring.
Yeah.
If you are a real person, leave a voicemail or text me. I will call you right back if I'm not in a meeting.
Yep.
I hate cold calls. It's a big waste of time. It happens to me. Yeah. I don't like being interrupted with my day. I prefer if you're going to reach out to me and like I reach out to other people, it's usually something where there's some kind of hook or something beneficial for you. Like, I'm making this up. Hey, Kelly, if you got your CPA, you've got CPE credits that you got to hit. We're doing an event that's very construction-focused, offering a couple hours of CPE. Figured you'd rather get your CPE outside of your office with some free tequila.
You know, it's a little different like that. I feel like you and I kind of started a relationship. Like, maybe you were like, hey, you need to meet Tanya Johansson. Like, before we were even like, you're like, hey, meet Tanya Johansson and develop a relationship with this person just because she's going to be a mentor to you because she's from construction. So I've like personally had this interaction with you. So this is interesting.
I also make introductions without permission. I don't care. I don't have time to wait on other people. But your first question was, you do it a little differently. I just have a... I don't care philosophy. And I've been very fortunate to work with really wonderful people that let me do my thing in order to be successful. And
okay, I'm going to ask you something super controversial.
Ready? Oh, please. Okay. I love this. Right. Ooh, juicy.
It's not about politics. So it's not that controversial. Let me ask you this. Do you think that because you said this earlier, so my daughter has dyslexia, her and I could not be more different because of the way that she learns and she hates math and I love math and we're just very different people, right? And so do you feel like maybe you've kind of got yourself into situations where you're with these accounting nerds? I'm in accounting, so I can call accountants nerds, but you're with all these accounting nerds who think so differently than you do, that you kind of come in the room and you're like, this is what I think of BD, and they're kind of like, I don't know how to manage her, so I'm going to let her do what she wants.
It's not really that. I think I know enough about accounting to be dangerous. Mm. My testing never translated in my youth.
Yeah.
Actually am smart. I just flip numbers.
But maybe they think so differently than you.
They think differently because they are wired differently. I am very organized chaos. Mm. There are these personality assessment tests that I love. I don't remember what this one's called, but you're a red, yellow, green, or blue. I've taken this test multiple times. I'm actually curious what your answer would be, but there's 22 questions, and this is such an answer of a red person to say, I've taken this test multiple times, 22 questions. I am a red for 20 of them and green for 2. Mm. And the way I describe these is there's 4 types. There's a red, and I describe it like building an IKEA chair. I am so red. You buy an IKEA chair, I throw all the parts on the ground and I just start building.
Oh, that's okay. Me. Yeah, me too.
So yellows are more of the, let's invite a bunch of people over and make a party out of building the chair.
Oof, okay.
Greens are, I'm going to lay out all the IKEA parts, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and go in order meticulously of how to build my chair. And then blues, which are much more HR people, not me, build the chair and tell you how they feel about it.
Oh,
So
I guess, I'm a red.
I'm a red taking the test. With a smidge of green because I got a CRM to keep me organized. But if I did not have that, I would just be wild.
Got it.
These accounting people, I know enough to be dangerous without being able to financially advise, but they need me to bring the human element on the call because a lot of these guys and gals, I have been able to find the ones that can bring in the business that are partners because they're not just smart, they are outgoing people and client-facing, but I like to even just ask those really silly questions. They're not that silly, but they're simple. Like, hey, Chuck, what do you like to do when you're not working?
Yeah.
And you find out all those details. Find out if they've got kids or if they like to go hunting or if they go every year on a big international trip for New Year's. But taking note of that.
Do you take... Okay, that's another great question. Do you actually just remember this stuff? Because
I can't write.
I'm terrible with names. And so somebody else, I hosted this panel last week, and in the very last hour, this guy switched out and he's like, hey, I'm going to take his spot. And I was so blown away by it that I shake his hand, he tells me his name, and he walks away, and I'm like, shit, what was his name? Like, that's how bad I am with names. So how do you, you meet all these people all the time. You're always meeting people. How do you remember these personal details about them?
Well, if I don't remember their name and I'm in a group setting, I pull a How I Met Your Mother and said, Kelly, have you met Ted? And I walk away. So that's the thing. If you're ever in public in a group and you don't know their name, pull one of those and then just walk away. But how I remember, it's really easy for me to remember you if you stood out from a meeting. Mm. But I'm not going to lie. I'm really good at remembering faces, where I met you, we talked about, what you were wearing. But every now and then, there are just some names that are a little tricky. But I do have to pat myself on the back because that's my job.
Yeah.
I've kind of mastered. In my first meeting with people, I usually always say their name a lot. Like, so Kelly, that's remind me, you're from kind of North Dallas, you're from Frisco area?
Yeah.
Cool. Or like, Kelly, what's it like being in construction? Or I say your name a lot intentionally. Mm-hmm. So that way that's it's good. More of a mind trick of remembering it. Yeah. But there are just some people that are boring and not memorable, and that's just life. And then there's some people that are wild and awesome. And I collect humans over my life. It's a make new friends but keep the old. But yeah, every now and then there are people where it's like, I can't remember his name every time.
Yeah.
And it just happens.
Yeah, me too. That happens to me a lot. Okay, I feel like you're just going to take this question and it's not even really going to hit you because you are so confident and you are such an outgoing individual. But, you know, I've been in situations. I was in a situation yesterday. I'm at this event and there's this woman that I want to meet. And she's like the woman that designed this house that I'm in. And I'm like, this could be such a great connection. And I have to really sit there and say, how do I just like walk up and meet this person? So let's say you're in a room and you're like, and you look over and it's just this super successful person. You've been wanting to have a meeting with this person. You've been wanting to meet this person. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Depends on the scenario and if they're alone or if they're with someone.
Okay.
I, again, tend to take the whole, I'm going to be memorable. You might not remember my name or my company, but you'll remember me. I do think one thing that does help, and I do this in business, it's not necessarily a strategy. Today does not reflect this, but when I go to events where I'm trying to be very visible,
yeah,
I am very loud with my clothing.
Okay.
Very loud. And that
you're
is not
meaning a bright red dress.
Bright, wild patterns, way too much accessories.
Interesting.
Because I'll follow up with these people by saying, I wear a lot of bright colors normally, where it's like, you probably don't remember me in a sea of black, gray and navy suits. I was a little short, stout redhead with a cheetah print dress.
Ah, nice. But I like that.
They'll remember me that way. But honestly, there's a few default things that are always in the back of my head that I ask if I'm nervous. Everyone is nervous at these big rooms.
Sure.
Even I am. But if there's someone that I'm really looking to meet, it could be as simple as I'll be like, you're William. I'm Emily. I've heard so much about you. It's as simple as that. A really easy default one is if you're ever talking to a guy and you're nervous to talk to him, check and see if he's wearing a college ring and ask, is that Oklahoma State or is that A&M?
That's a good one. That's a good one
for It's usually an icebreaker. The people talk about their college. They love their college. If they're wearing a freaking ring, they love their college. So I actually always do the college ring as an icebreaker.
That's great.
If I have no idea what to talk about.
Okay. That's good.
That is mine. That's good. But it's as simple as you can just... I mean, yeah, it's a mean girls thing, but you can literally post or ask like, I really like your shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's just simple.
Compliment. So
yeah.
It's kind of this like how to win friends and influence people. You go in and you get them talking about themselves a little
bit. Yeah, but it's always best if you've heard about someone that you're really trying to meet through someone that they clearly know where it's like, you're William. Oh my God, one of my colleagues, John, talks about you all the time, says you're great. I just feel like I already know you.
That's good.
Do it that way.
Yeah. I do think that's the easiest icebreaker is when you have a friend in common.
Yeah. I mean, there's one conference. I think you know him because he's one of my favorites to follow in the BD circuit. We're tight. But I remember one area where I've gone to some conferences without knowing a single person. I think you know him. And I remember going to this one conference in 2017, not realizing that people schedule meetings prior to the conference.
Oh, geez.
So I'm just standing there like I'm in a middle school dance and no one wants to dance with me. And I'm looking to just around and I notice that there's a guy kind of standing like me, awkward. And I think you know him. Do you know Neil Barrow?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's great. Love him. But I literally looked at him and I go, you want to dance? It's like, no one wants to dance with me or you. But I take the funny approach.
That's good.
It usually works.
Yeah.
If anything, they'll think you're funny.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's fun. Okay. Something I've always really admired about you is LinkedIn.
Oh, my.
You know, you have 16,000 LinkedIn followers.
I do.
I looked it up today.
Jesus Christ.
And I think that, you know, you've really kind of mastered the LinkedIn algorithm. And what I mean by that is, you know, I can post something on LinkedIn and it'll get a ton of, I'm going to butcher this word. I'm going to say the word consumption. It'll get a ton of consumption. And then I'll post something else and it's like 200 people see it. And I'm like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. So it kind of just, if you were going to, you know, tell somebody in their 20s how LinkedIn has helped you, like, what have you done with LinkedIn and how does it help you in your role?
I was using LinkedIn in my radio days before I feel like people really
What year was that?
I stumped you. 2015 or 16 okay. time right. frame. Because I, yeah, that makes sense from a turning 26. So yeah. Around then, I hate cold calling. Mm. It stems from then when I just hate cold calling. And so I tried doing things a little bit differently in general. And I realized when it was back in the day that LinkedIn is like Facebook, but for business owners.
Right.
And it's not the same thing like other social media where you're posting about your thirst traps or your trip to Cabo. It's business focused. And right. business owners tend to be online and they read it.
Yeah.
And they go there. Yeah. And if you message people, oh my God, they might reply. Yeah. Who knows? So I was doing that in my radio days. It's funny because every now and then I'll click on a note or be like, you look familiar. And then I'll go to messages. It's like, do you want to be on 105.3 The Fan? It's just crazy. But LinkedIn, I am not one that, like, you would think, like, I have all this knowledge on mm-hmm. LinkedIn and I use all these things and
yeah.
I check the algorithm.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I do know that if you want more clicks and views to put your posts with the link mm. for the website okay. in the comments, if you have a link, because LinkedIn wants to keep you on the page.
Mm.
And if you have anything that takes you off the page, LinkedIn does not like that.
Okay.
And so that is one thing. LinkedIn also likes photos.
Okay.
And so that is another thing. But again, I just post what I feel like. That's and good. I try keeping it interesting. I post about my profession, which is boring,
mm-hmm.
but people need to know about yep. it. But I also post about business development. Okay. And one thing that I love to do is my friends make really stupid life choices, and I've lived a non-boring life that I find other people's decisions to be inspiration and in how I can relate it to business development. And I always have lived by the philosophy, just doing BD, that sales is actually dating. It's literally the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I take also a lot of inspiration from TV that I watch, from movies that I watch, and the sky's the limit. I am a Sex and the City girl.
Oh, yeah. I've old seen stuff, all your Sex and the City
all books. Old stuff, not the new stuff. But
yeah, the new. Why does the new one suck? I mean, it like, and you may not think it sucks, but I think it totally sucks. I got like two or three episodes, and this like...
It's garbage.
Sex and the City is one of my favorite...
Who's your character?
You know, I feel like I've been a different character like every 10 years of my life. But at some point, I became a Miranda, and like I'm, yeah. and like I hate that. I kind of hate that about myself. Because I always thought I was like a Charlotte, but I'm totally
no.
Charlotte's like, you know, she just quits work. I remember that's so recently. I watched the episode. We're so off track, but I watched the episode where she's like, "I think I'm gonna not work now," and I was just like,
"Oh, the gallery episode.
How dare she say that? Are you freaking kidding me?"
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. So, but the new one sucks. Sorry, totally interrupted you. Keep going.
Oh, it's terrible, but. I'm a Samantha.
Really? You think so? But I also like kind of see you as a Carrie.
No.
Like, no?
Oh, I think she's a villain.
What?
She's when you rewatch the old stuff, she's kind of psycho.
No, I
and
totally,
toxic.
I totally agree with you on this because I did recently do a rewatch.
She's
and my husband's
psycho.
Like, I can't believe we're watching this crap, but I was watching it.
It's excellent.
And I was like, she's kind of a baby. Like,
she is an immature, toxic baby. So really? I was rewatching the
but
episode.
But she's still cool, though. She's still the reason that the show is so popular.
Oh, I know. But every now and then, I'll go back to, like, I think it's season 2 or 3 where Big is with Natasha. My. Ugh, mm-hmm. the
yeah.
worst. But
I agree with that.
But I rewatch those episodes every now and then or just other TV, and it's like, a little sales analogy.
I've seen those LinkedIn. Those, I feel like those usually are very popular.
I do those a lot. And a lot of my single friends make really dumb life choices and they inspire me. I also made some really dumb life choices that are easy. But I mean, a few weeks ago, I was rewatching Gladiator, the original one. With I've Russell never seen Crow. That. No way.
I've never seen, I know. Some everybody always says that when I say that. I've never seen it.
Oh God. Well, Gladiator is wonderful. And there's this whole scene where he's like, my name is Marcus Aurelius, like blah, 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 and like just says his shtick. And it's like I'm watching it being like, you know what? That was actually a pretty good like 30-second pitch. Yeah. It's perfect. He was like, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance. It's like, you literally got everything to the point. You said it right there. But going back to Sex and the City, these are real world or analogies mm-hmm. that you can...
Relatable.
Relatable. And I think even going back to your other question of how do you work with these CPAs, I dumb it down. I know enough to be dangerous, but say people are talking about ERP systems.
Yeah.
I am so sick of people trying to sound smarter than they are, being like, we like to streamline your back office systems and processes. Stupid. It's dumb. Just say, we put finance and accounting software on your computer, make sure it works, train your staff, and if it's broken, call us.
That's great.
That's all you do.
I love it.
But these analogies with pop culture and everything like that, it's really easy to get the point out about business development. Mm. A couple months ago, I had a like I have one friend that keeps making really stupid choices, and they're inspiring. This friend of mine is looking intensely at another job in, I'm going to make up a state so it's not obvious, Indiana.
Okay.
Intensely. And I found it so funny that he keeps going on dates in Dallas with people where it's like, it would be one thing to keep going on dates if you're here, but you are 1 foot out the door.
Right.
Why are you doing that?
Hmm.
And that inspired a LinkedIn post. Or it's this same friend was dating someone who is a, I'll be more anonymous, a 45-year-old single matchmaker. And I said to them, I find that odd. I find that to be a red flag.
And that they're single, that they're 45, and that they're matchmaker.
It's the matchmaker part.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you had it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I said to them,
it's like a bankrupt, you know, it's like somebody that's a CPA, but he filed bankruptcy. It's like, you're going to let him manage your finances?
No, I mean, there's a lot of awesome women that, by choice or not by choice, have never gotten married. But if you had said that you were a doctor, you worked at a bank, that you worked at a restaurant, I would think nothing of it and be like, cool, bro. But when you said matchmaker, it's like, that is strange. He goes, why go? This person's profession is to meet with the most eligible bachelors in DFW for a living and to follow your playbook on how to meet a man mm-hmm. or a woman. And she has not been successful. I find that odd.
Yeah.
I think she's psycho. And that inspired a LinkedIn post. But that's good. Yeah.
So basically you take real world stuff that's happening to you.
Yes.
And you turn it into good information for a LinkedIn post.
That's what I do. I also tend to teeter the edge of things that you can and cannot talk about.
I was going
to
ask you this. So you also have 1,500 Instagram followers, which for whatever reason, when there's something that I always see. So I would say every 2 years younger than, so I'm 36, but every 2 years off of 36, so if somebody's 34, 32, 30, I think they grow by about 200 to 300 Instagram followers.
Are you serious?
This is a theory that I have. I just think that they know more people that are on Instagram. And so you, I assume, are my age.
35.
Okay, but you have 1,500 followers. But I also noticed that you post a lot on Instagram. So how do you draw the line between what you're willing to post on Instagram and what you're willing to post on LinkedIn?
Instagram is for the inappropriate memes.
Which you do post a lot of.
love a good inappropriate meme. There are some great accounts. I use it for that.
Yeah. It's like a humor outlet.
Yeah. And anything that I put out for my personal brand, I will go down with this ship. I have no qualms. if you don't like it, then you have a bad sense of humor. Yeah. I'm not trying to be controversial.
That's good.
One thing that I'm very not doing for LinkedIn, I don't do one anything inappropriate, but you can talk politics and the administration from an accounting standpoint.
Yep.
But I'm not going to go on there and say anything about our administration personally.
Yeah, you can't because you alienate too large of a group of people.
You alienate too many people. Agree. But yes, you have to talk politics as it pertains to business. Mm-hmm. Tariffs. That literally the day I came out of maternity leave was like the tariff craziness.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to talk about that delicately. But I'm Jewish. I am very careful mm-hmm. with how I am publicly out there, because at this point I don't care if I offend.
It's your religion. Yeah.
No, I don't care if I piss anyone off for being Jewish. If you want to come at me, I dare you.
Yeah.
But my Instagram is where I'm a lot more loud about that stuff, because there's so few of my people in the world that, speaking of Kanye, his following on Instagram is larger than the worldwide Jewish population.
Really?
That's interesting. How many people, how many Jews do you think are in the world?
I don't know.
15 million.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
15 million?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah. Guess how many people live in Mexico City?
15 million.
25 million. So when you think of the world, Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid.
They have more Instagram
Selena
followers.
Gomez, they're much larger than the worldwide population.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
So if they're posting something that is not true, mm-hmm. thousands and millions of people will agree and false. And yeah, so I'm loud.
Isn't that scary?
Yes, it's terrifying.
I think that's so scary.
Yeah.
That some of these people have the influence that they do. And it's not just like, it's one thing to be a really smart person and people say, oh, you know, you have a lot of influence because you're educated and you're very smart. But to be like somebody who was on a Disney show and like, you know.
Oh, that college grad. Good for her.
You know, it's like you were on a Disney show and you got really popular. And now, you know, you literally have 200 million Instagram followers mm-hmm. and you could literally probably convince anyone of anything. Like, it's a very scary. It's a very scary world.
It
in
is.
My opinion.
And
influence is a very interesting thing for me.
It is, and there's good and bad with social media. Mm. You can reach out and have these conversations with people from all over the world that are so different from you, but people turn to social media because they're afraid of having uncomfortable conversations, because they're afraid of confrontation. I have had, in the last couple of years, more hate messages sent to me, just crazy stuff, and it's like, who the hell are you? You live in like Brazil. I don't even know you. Like, who are you?
Yeah.
And it's real easy to just troll online and not actually talk.
Yeah, I keyboard warriors is what those people are called, and
I call them losers.
Yeah.
Get a life.
I think that's crazy. You know, it's like I just don't understand the idea of wanting to just, you know, somebody may post something that I disagree with and there's a good chance I'm going to unfollow them or just, you know, simply disengage from the post at all. But I never feel the urge that I have to, like, insert my opinion. And then not only insert my opinion, but be hateful. I almost dropped the F-bomb. I didn't do it, though. But just be hateful. Like, why do people feel that it's okay to be hateful online? Like, you're not going to be hateful in person. You're not going to go tell somebody that they suck, you know, like, in person. But you'll do it behind a keyboard?
Yeah.
Like, how? I hate that.
Because they're little, I'm not going to say the whole world, little bees.
Don't do it.
Yeah. They're big babies that were not loved enough or hugged enough by their parents.
Jeez, that's so sad. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're getting back on track. Tell me about how it's felt to, you know, go into this like next part of your life where before you were able to kind of say yes to everything and now you're a new mom. I mean, what is it? Just tell me what it's been like being a new mom.
She's the best. Not every baby is as easy as my baby. And I'm very blessed and very lucky. I think the Lord only gives you what you can handle. And when I had my baby, the Lord must have said, we know you don't like kids, Ackerman. We're going to make this as easy as possible for you. And my labor was easy and she's easy. I think that she is, not every baby's easy. And I understand that.
Yeah.
After dealing with a lot of my friends that have kids and everything. But it's very easy when you've got family in town and she's just good.
So you do have family close. That's nice.
I've got family here. My mom, grandparents, they're all here. Not doing daycare till next year just because I thought it was a little, she's a little young to go.
That's
already.
Fine. Yeah.
But got help at the house and got help here locally. And how it is being a new mom, I'm lucky that I work at a place that's hybrid.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
good.
Office is in Addison, but if I have meetings near my house and I'm in between appointments,
yeah,
I go home. So I had meetings near my house in the morning, went home from 10:30 to 11:15, haven't been back since, but I get these random pockets during the day where I get to be with her.
That's amazing.
It's awesome that. From that standpoint, but how is it being a mom? I'm just more selective with my time. I'm not, her last bottle's at 7 p.m., so I still go to events.
You're still timing your life by somebody, at least somebody's drinks.
Yes, but I want to be home for that.
Yeah.
I want to be a mom that can do it all, and I think you can with help and with one.
Mm.
When you have more than one kid, that's when you have to start really dividing and conquering.
I agree with that.
But with one kid, not that she's like an accessory, because again, she's an easy baby.
That's
knock
great.
On wood, it stays that way. But with one, I can do it all, because as she keeps growing, I'm making up these hobbies that she's going to like. Maybe she's going to like swimming and soccer and guitar. Making it up. I can plan my life around one kid's uh-huh. activities, one school.
So one and done.
As of now, yeah. A couple weeks ago, I was having a lunch with a friend, and she goes, I cannot picture my life before baby Micah. Can you picture your life before baby Gigi? I go, yeah, I think about it all the time. It was great. I loved it. Loved my life without children and income. It's great. Why? I think about it all the time, and what did I do? But again, it's with one, not everyone is this way, but I'm fulfilled because I always wanted to be a mom.
Good. Yeah.
But I feel like if I had another right away,
you'd be overwhelmed.
Well, no, they would be crazy. She is easy. Yep. So I'm calm. Everyone's calm.
Yep.
But if she was this psycho, she doesn't walk and talk yet. So right now it's great. Ask me in a couple months when she's running and like grabbing things and telling me no. But I was a camp counselor when I was younger. Yeah. Time is a thief. And as each couple weeks and months are happening, she's growing so quickly. I used to think I hated kids, hated them. I liked teenagers, like 13, 14, give me that age. I love babies. I love my baby. I think I don't like toddlers.
You love your baby.
I love my baby. But I see other people's kids, and that is also birth control.
Yeah.
And you cannot talk to them and tell them to, and like you can't, no.
I will say, before I had kids, see, I was not planning to have kids, and I had Emily, and thank God I did. And you know, Gray had kids from a previous marriage, and so I've got to, you know, I got to raise Brooke from the time she was two, and I wouldn't change any of it. But I will tell you, my tolerance level, once you go through each stage with a kid, because Emily was also a great baby. I literally remember her being a baby and being like, I know karma's coming for me at some point. Like, this is too way easy. Too easy. But then, you know, she went through, you know, twos and threes when we were at restaurants and she was screaming. And, you know, before that, I remember sitting in restaurants or sitting in airplanes when there'd be kids screaming. You're like, oh, it's so annoying. Like,
you get it now.
I get it now. And so with each age, you just become more tolerant of that age, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you see some, you know, you're sitting in a restaurant, you see a three-year-old, and instead of being annoyed that they're yelling, you think, God, I remember when Emily was that age. And like, this is coming from somebody who is least strength is empathy. Like, I am not a relator. So
no.
For me to see a baby and be like, man, I remember when Emily was that age. Like, it just makes you so much more tolerant of, having kids makes you so much more tolerant of everything else.
Oh, yeah.
It really does.
Oh, yeah.
And it's wild.
And the thing, too, is I think people plan a lot or have these expectations for these kids where they're like, I am never going to give my kid or baby an iPad. It's like, airplanes? You're kind of stuck if they're terrible. I am 100% giving my baby or kid iPad on plane or car trip.
Yeah.
If we're ever in a bad way.
But I think that everyone in the world is going to set different standards.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong
way. There's always going to be a moment where you feel like there's a mom that's doing, like, the mom guilt is something that's so real.
It's competitive suffering.
It is. And there's always that mom that's like, oh, yeah, you know, my daughter's never had gluten. She's never had sugar. She's never looked at an iPad. And I'm like, Emily, you want to go get some ice cream? Because yeah. that just stressed me out. Bottles. You know? Well, so it's like you know, I think that moms could just be at so much more peace if they would just
shut up.
Just let people be. Let people raise kids. Like
I feel like
let
you
people be who they are. It's fine.
You would probably relate to this because it's still fresh for me, but if I have one more person ask me, why did you stop nursing at 12 weeks?
Oh,
what about your baby?
That is such a personal thing to even have an opinion
on. I want to say, shut up. Your kid is 3 with teeth pointing at it, asking for it. That's weird to me. That's weird. But, I mean, if I've had more focus on my...
We're getting deep in the mom stuff here.
but it's such a competitive suffering.
It is.
And there's no right or wrong way of doing it. As long as your kid's not a crappy kid...
Just raise good humans.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Be
raise
nice.
Good humans. Be tolerant of others.
It shouldn't be that difficult, but it is.
It shouldn't be that difficult. Okay, last thing I'm going to ask you. What do you think's next for you? What's the next 10 years look like?
Oh, God. Retired. joking. I have no idea what the next 10 years are going to look like, but I really love what I'm doing. I think there's going to come a point where I don't think the philosophy is true that those that can't do teach. Mm-hmm. I think my thing is in the next 10 years, Emily's going to be tired and would mind not taking a little bit of a back seat and being in more of a,
manageable.
I'm going to oversee like more BDs.
That's
and
good.
More people hate management. I think 10 years from now when I'm 45, I might think differently,
yeah.
where it's like, I've been grinding.
Yes.
I've been grinding a lot. When I went into maternity leave that last little week, you seen Forrest Gump?
Yeah, it's been a long time. But
you know when he's running and he turns to the crowd and he goes, I'm pretty tired. I think I might go home. If I have another 10 years, how I've been going now,
yeah.
At some point, my job is going to evolve where I'm going to need to have more of me's, not just here in Texas, but around the United States. I think by then I would like to do something more like that. I am in a great company for me now. I love what I'm doing. I think the only thing that I would like to do is similar and like what I'm doing with more money.
That's great.
That's a real truthful answer. But I think... Another thing, too, that I would like to be doing more of by then, can it be a personal thing,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely.
I really want to get into some really different hobbies. I love
okay.
hobbies. I think hobbies make people very interesting.
Absolutely.
And when people are boring and just watch TV, that's a shame. You need to get more hobbies. I would love to get into one of two things now that I'm not pregnant anymore. And don't judge me.
I won't.
I want to either, by 10 years from now, I want to be a master in Krav Maga. Or I want to do roller derby.
Really?
Yeah.
Roller derby.
Hell yeah.
Well, what's the first one? I don't even know what that is.
Krav Maga is martial arts where people like you and I could take down a 300-pound man.
Wow, that's cool. I love that.
Yes.
Go do it. That's great.
I'm afraid of ruining my face, but I want to do that. But a thing that I've said every year is a goal, and I hate the whole, like, this is the year of that. But
yeah.
I'd say every year that I want to learn to rollerblade and roller skate. And I
okay, wait. You want to do roller derby, but you don't know how to.
So
roll
in the next 10 years,
okay.
I want to learn how to roller
time.
Skate.
You got time.
And then take my boxing and Krav Maga knowledge and beat people.
That's great. I love that for you. It's so awesome.
But I've said every year I want to learn how to rollerblade and roller skate, and I want to do that in the next 10 years.
That's amazing. I love that.
So maybe you'll see me rollerblading.
I think I will. I love that. Emily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank
I enjoyed
you.
It.
Yes, thank you.